Imagine being arrested and hauled off to jail for professing to be a Christian. The next day, you find yourself in the courtroom, and you're told to stand up before the jury and answer if you profess faith in Jesus. And you do. You stand there and you answer, "Yes, I am a Christian." But then the judge tells you that your profession is not enough to establish evidence that this is true. But the prosecution has been hard at work, secretly investigating your life for a long time, watching your actions, looking for hard facts, for indisputable proof that your profession of faith is genuine. My friend, if you were facing this jury, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Would your life demonstrate that you were guilty of being a Christ follower? Hi, I'm Pastor Joel, and welcome to Happy and Whole in Him. Today we come to a passage beginning in James 2:14, which is perhaps the theological high point of this letter, as James helps us to see if our profession of faith is genuine. James writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" In verse 14, we hear the first two of a series of six questions that James is going to put to us. James is sort of like a master detective asking question after question to make sure there's no stone left unturned. What is James seeking to help us discover? The nature of saving faith. What is the faith that saves so that we will stand in the judgment? And James begins by asking if a faith profession alone is profitable or any good if it has no works. And he leaves no doubt that a profession without evidence is a false faith. In the life of a true believer, there will be visible, tangible evidence. He learned this from his half-brother Jesus, who said, "By their fruits you will know them." Matthew 7:20. And James then asks another question, which he'll then answer in verses 15 to 17. He writes, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." This is the first of four case studies James is going to give us. James first says that true faith meets the needs of the poor. It does not wish a needy brother well and then just walk on by. Remember, James said that true religion cares for orphans and widows. I remember walking into church once and I noticed a sister who was struggling with some burdens that she was removing from her vehicle. I slowed down to evaluate the situation, but my feet didn't really stop moving. My wife noticed my hesitation and said, "Go see if she needs a hand." My wife was encouraging me to live out my faith. My look of concern and my slowed pace meant nothing. True concern has hands and feet. If all I do is pretend like I'm concerned and do nothing when I am able to do something, my concern is fake. That's what James is saying. Friends, we cannot profess to be Christ followers while ignoring the needy. Why not? Because Jesus didn't. Jesus himself saw our helpless condition, and he left heaven to become the bread of life to feed dying men. He was stripped of his garments in order to clothe us with his righteousness as he hung on the cross. And the world continues to be needy today, and now we're the ones empowered by the Spirit to show the world Jesus Christ. Not only our profession, but with our deeds of love. And when we care for brothers and sisters, we don't only show them Christ, we actually care for Christ, his body. I encourage you to read Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25:31 to 46. Jesus speaks of that day he will return in glory, and all people will be separated into two groups. Both groups will profess Jesus, will call him Lord. But only to the group on his right, Jesus will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And this group is surprised. And they say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" And the Lord replies in verse 40, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The other group of professing believers is told to depart into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why, Joel? Because they did not invite the stranger, clothe the needy, or visit the sick in prison. My friends, let's provide the evidence in our lives that we have true faith. Our works do not save us, but a faith that saves will be working. Let's not find ourselves DOA when we're called to stand before the judge. Remember who you are and who you belong to.